Hello, my name's Christiana and welcome to the Oceanside Community Church podcast. We're a church in Parksville on Vancouver Island with a vision to be fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus Christ, and fully alive with the Holy Spirit. We welcome you to join us weekly on this journey. For more information about our church, visit our website at oceansidecommunitychurch.ca or download our mobile app. We pray that you'll be blessed and equipped by today's teaching.
With you this morning's message, which is preparing for Advent, because introducing people to the season of Advent is one of my favorite things to do, and also because I'm just so excited about our new series, Filled, that begins next week for Advent. And I know the Christian concept of Advent may be new for some of you, but whether this might be your first year kind of entering into Advent or your 50th year doing this, I invite you into this beautiful season as we do this together. And to do that and kind of properly introduce it, I'd like to look at and examine three concepts to help prepare our hearts for Advent. I'm going to talk about the Christian Advent, which is all about promise. Then we'll talk about the commercial Advent, which is sort of a parody. And then the current Advent, our preparation. So let's begin with the Christian Advent and this season of promise. So Advent is actually a Christian or biblical word. It comes from the Latin Adventus, which is a translation of the biblical Greek word parousia, which often refers to the second coming of Christ and simply means coming. So, put simply, Advent is a season of preparation and anticipation for the coming of Christ. And Advent celebrates and prepares for the promise of three different kind of comings of Christ. And so, this week, I had all these images or things, and I decided to put it into a table, and we'll see if this helps or works, but this is a new thing, kind of original work being introduced this morning, but kind of a summary that hopefully will help when we say that we're celebrating three comings. So Advent is a looking back to the past, to Jesus' first coming as a baby. It's looking ahead to the future and his second coming as king and ruler, and finally looking to the present, how he comes to us now as Savior. So we remember and celebrate his first Advent as a baby in Bethlehem, what he did. We anticipate and cry out for his second Advent when he returns in glory, what he will do. And we celebrate how he comes and visits us now in the present, what he is doing in this time between the first and second Advent. So I hope you can see why I love Advent, because it just encapsulates so well the hope of our faith and the teachings that we follow. It's a three-way movement in time, summarized by the Advent declaration of Christ is coming, Christ has come, Christ will come again. And, you know, historically in the church, and maybe somewhat surprising if you're new to Advent, it's a time where we actually mainly focus on Jesus' second coming. For our reflections about his first coming as a baby during this season prompt our hearts to long for and anticipate his coming again, this time as king, to fully establish his rule and reign in the world that he began at his birth. And so Advent is a season of longing for his return, where we say, O come, Emmanuel. It's why we often sing the hymn, Come, thou long expected Jesus. And so it is always appropriate at Christmas, as we look back and thank God for fulfilling hope by coming in the flesh as a baby, that at the same time, almost simultaneously, In the same breath, our hearts cry out in hope those last words of the Bible, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Advent reminds us that the story, it does not end in Bethlehem, nor in Jerusalem at the cross, nor even at the end of the New Testament, nor with our present situations and circumstances. I remember when our middle child, Amos, was about 2 or 3, and he was in this stage where before he did anything and everything, he prefaced it with, you know what? And so he would say, you know, Daddy, you know what? Or Mommy, you know what? And kind of be like, what, Amos? I'm going to color. You know, Daddy, you know what? What, Amos? I'm going to eat a banana. And it was just kind of Daddy, you know what? Or Mommy, you know what? Before everything that he did. And so one night I'm putting him to bed and I read him a couple of Bible stories, as I always would. And we read those and put it aside. And then I make the very logical transition from the Bible to Nuffle Bunny. And I don't know if anybody's aware of the Nuffle Bunny series. They're great books. But I read Nuffle Bunny, and as most kids' stories go, on the very last page, it says, the end. And I read the story, and I say, the end, and Amos goes, Daddy, you know what? What, Amos? The Bible doesn't say the end. And it just, like, struck my heart. And I felt like it was a word from the Lord. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is not just for mature adults? But it got me thinking, you know what? That's so true. The Bible does not end. It is an invitation into an ongoing story that has not yet ended. And so Advent is a time of remembering this larger story that we're a part of. And therefore, it can and should be a yearly time of spiritual awakening in our hearts as we look back and reflect on what it means that Jesus came in the flesh, as we look ahead and prepare for his promised return and look to the present and attend to what he is doing now among us. So that is Christian Advent. It's all about the promise. And I hope in your heart there's a longing that says, I want to enter into this beautiful story. I want to embrace this Advent, this coming. But we need to be aware that, like most of the Christian life, there is a spiritual battle for our attention and our affections. There is a counterfeit story that, if we're not careful, will pull us away from the hope, peace, joy, and love of the season that is found in Christ. So I want to briefly warn us of the commercial Advent, what I'm kind of calling a parody. And by parody, I just mean a weak imitation of it. I'm not using it in the literary or musical sense. But there is a false counter story that has emerged more and more over the decades in order to make Christmas a more secularized holiday, one even sometimes in opposition to the Christian message. And this is why, as a pastor, I've actually become more and more intentional about observing and drawing people in to Advent. I actually didn't used to be. I often would just kind of ignore the season and just kind of think of, you know, Christmas, but not necessarily Advent. But more and more, it's become a concern so that the message of Christ doesn't get drowned out by the very loud counter messages being given to us everywhere. Because Christmas has really become, let's just be honest, two separate holidays. There is the Christian holiday, and the word holiday just comes from holy day, holiday. That's where it comes from. But then there is also the commercial holiday, which at times is far from holy. And the commercial holiday has its own Advent, its own preparation and anticipation of coming, as you know, most of December is about just getting ready for Christmas and company and shopping and parties. But in order to counterbalance the inevitable, so it's not all bad, it's inevitable that we're going to participate in that. But in order to counterbalance the inevitable but hopefully somewhat limited participation in the commercial buzz, We must make a big deal of intentionally preparing our hearts for Jesus through the observance of Christian Advent. And so Advent or Christmas kind of really serves as a litmus test or a barometer of our spiritual priorities and really of what we face constantly year round in our lives, which is, which story will we live our lives by? What story is structuring our lives, our decisions, our priorities, our affections? See, we don't observe Advent because it will make God love us more. You can't change God's feelings and affection for you. You already have them. We observe Advent so that we can love God more. And as Christmas has become more and more secularized and commercialized, more and more known as kind of a head-spinning, money-spending, emotionally stressful holiday, what's happened is it becomes even more important that the church needs to help us refocus and attend to the real meaning of this season and the good news of this season, which is a person, Jesus Christ. And it's a huge reason why we need to do this corporate worship together. I mean, Advent is important because if you're like me, you get distracted, right? You get sucked into the competing story that the world is trying to tell you and sell you, a story of what the good life consists of, whether that be, you know, a new Lexus, as all the Christmas commercials are, or a perfect family, or the newest, you know, Apple device, or a perfectly decorated home, you know, a made-for-TV Christmas dinner, the perfect Christmas getaway, whatever the message. And again, these are not bad things necessarily, but they are potentially distractions. I mean, just yesterday, as always, I was at Shoppers doing my, you know, kind of stuff, and it was the combination of, like, all this panic buying that's going on, as well as their Black Friday sales, which are starting early, of course, as always, and all these electronics were on sale. And I kind of looked around at one point, and I've, like, never seen it this crowded because of those two factors. And you know what? Nobody looked happy. Like, nobody. People are there, they're getting their deals, but like everybody was miserable. The employees were miserable because it's chaos and everybody's miserable. Everything's taking so long. And, you know, I'm thinking, this is not a good start to the season. But, I mean, inevitably, we're going to participate a bit in it. But we're tempted, you know, to let retailers tell us when the Christmas season starts over the church. We shouldn't anticipate Black Friday as the start of the Christmas season and Boxing Day as the end. Those are commercial things. We should anticipate the first Sunday of Advent, which is next week, of when it begins. And then we dive into that story for 4 weeks until we come to worship on Christmas Eve and remember that Christ has come. And in that regard, the current Advent, point three here, becomes a season of spiritual preparation. And this is sort of the application this morning. So we say, okay, so what can I do to enter into the Christian Advent of the promise of Christ rather than the commercial Advent that kind of features the parody of commercialism and secularism? And the answer is to intentionally prepare our hearts for Christ and prepare our hearts for the family. We need to build an anticipation around the season of Jesus and his coming. Make this a season of spiritual preparation, reminding yourself that we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And how can we do this? Well, let me give a couple potential applications. Number one is quite obvious that we need to make weekly worship central because this is a season of Christian worship. And over the next 4 weeks, we'll be looking in a unique way at the four words associated with this season. So here's just a little preview of that to get you ready. through this series. And that goes for kids as well, who during all of these weeks will be preparing their hearts too and learning. So make sure your kids are intentionally doing that so that they hear the right message rather than the counter message of that. The longing and waiting for the Advent season, where we've put ourselves in the story of waiting for Jesus to come, it builds to a climax on Christmas Eve when we finally light that Christ candle, representing that Jesus, the light of the world, the promised one, has come. One of my most powerful worship experiences as a Christian, I can almost feel it and taste it still today, was back on Christmas Eve 2012. And that was the first year that I really intentionally observed Advent, that really tried to prepare my heart to receive Christ afresh and in a new way, and kind of entered into the season. And I remember I was at Christmas Eve worship, and as I went forward for communion to receive Christ kind of anew, I just became flooded with tears of joy that kind of just spontaneously came. And I remember I didn't want to leave the altar where I was receiving communion, but there was a lineup behind me or whatever. I just wanted to stay in the moment. And I just felt this joy come over me as I said, you know, kind of in my heart, he's here. The Christ child has come. And he's breaking in anew and afresh in our hearts and in our lives. And that might not necessarily happen every year, but it is kind of what I think God wants us to come out of this season. That we would remember that ultimate Christmas miracle, that he lives in you and me, just as he came to live in the world. And that's what Advent is all about. And Advent Sundays leading up to Christmas Eve help us just remember and remind us that this season is about one thing and one thing only: worship. And I can guarantee you, if you worship the four Sundays of Advent and then Christmas Eve, this season will feel different to you. It will impact you. And if you're traveling, find somewhere else to be at on Christmas Eve or whatever day. And so the church and corporate worship helps us keep the focus on Jesus. But of course, then we need to take that focus into our Monday through Saturday lives as well during Advent. So the second way to prepare our hearts, and the last thing here, is to make daily worship central during this season. Or we can say daily family worship if you're living with others or have others in the home with you. And there's lots of ways we can do this so that the buzz around our home outside of Sunday is about Jesus more than other parts of the season. So just some suggestions. One would be you could read a Advent devotional. We have three in our library that we've put out on the featured books here. And, you know, take advantage of being in the 9 a.m. service where you get first dibs on the books. Also, the 11 a.m. service has to get all the Christmas gear out after the service today. So two bonuses for coming early to the 9. But check out one of these books or buy one online. These are just kind of three we happen to have here. And so read an Advent devotional. This could be a family activity as well. There was this one that Aaron West, one of our council members, showed our family a few years ago, and we've used it since. It was just a printout from an online thing of a family reading that only takes a couple minutes, geared towards kids, that you can do every single day, and we would do it just before dinner every night. And so that's a way to bring your whole family into the season. Another help is we're going to do a weekly midweek Advent devotional reading podcast as a church. And so it'll be pretty simple. We're just going to read from actually one of those devotionals, one that we really like. And we're going to read some selections of it during the week. And we'll release this in the middle of the week, each week during Advent. So not starting this week, but the next one. And we'll send them out in the newsletter, so make sure you're subscribed. If you aren't, just check the box on the card or let us know or sign up on the website. And it'll be also on our social media channels and websites, or if you follow the podcast on Apple or Spotify, it just automatically will show up for you. But that's just a way to bring you into the season, and we're just going to do some devotional readings, and you can kind of listen to them while you're driving in your car or whenever you have earphones in or whatever it is. So that's another thing that you can do. Another way you can intentionally prepare is have some traditions that revolve around anticipating Jesus rather than other things. One year, Sheila Nielsen, a longtime member here, she gave us one of these candles, and hers was beautiful. It was from like a German Christmas story, and it was all printed beautifully. But it had, you know, 1 through 25 days, and then at the bottom was the manger scene. And the idea was you burn, you know, down to the next number each day, and you anticipate getting closer and closer to the birth of Jesus. And so what we would do is after that reading around the table each night, we would light the next day, and it would burn as we're eating, and then once it gets down to the next number, you know, one of the kids blows it out, and the anticipation is for Jesus, right? There's nothing sugary about this. There's, you know, it's all about just, you know, it's kind of low-tech kind of way to just anticipate Jesus, but it sure beats, in my opinion, secular Advent chocolate calendars or Advent Lego calendars or all these, you know, it's really a craze, Advent on the other holiday that goes on, but really remember that it has all these Christian roots to it, where we're counting down the days, not until gifts, but until the gift. God in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel. So we just now every year make these ourselves and write them in, and actually Anya drew this manger scene at the bottom. Good job, honey. There, so we'll take this home, or we could do a fundraiser, go to the highest bidder, I don't know. So let's make this current Advent season one of preparation in your heart. The season of Advent is meant to be a yearly wake-up call. We remember the sobering truth, and I want you to get this, the sobering truth that so few were ready for Jesus' first coming. They were preoccupied with their own lives, their own dreams, their own pursuits of their own kingdoms. I mean, only a few were ready, watching and waiting. Mary, Elizabeth, Simeon, Anna, a few shepherds who weren't too busy with their work, but rather hurried off to see this child, and some Gentile astrologers. That's about it. The rest of the world barely noticed. So will you be ready? Because he's coming again. Are you, as 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, eagerly waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed? And will you be prepared when he comes again? Pascasius Radbertus. If you're looking for names for your kids, there you go. Pascasius Radbertus, a 9th century Benedictine, says we must always be on the lookout for Christ's twofold coming. The one when he comes day after day to stir our consciences, and the other when we shall give an account of everything we have done. He comes to us now in order that his future coming may find us prepared. So if I can bring Radbertus into a kind of modern contemporary summary, something I've said before that I kind of tell the Lord if I'm feeling bold is, Lord, shock me now. Don't shock me later. Meaning I'd rather be shocked now at the realization that I'm unprepared for Christ's return so that I can get ready than to be shocked later when he actually returns and I'm not ready, not prepared, not anticipating his return. And the way we prepare our hearts for that second advent, that second coming, is to prepare room for him in our hearts, even right now in the present. As one of our favorite carols says, as the band comes up, and we're not going to sing this carol now, but we will in future weeks, let every heart prepare him room. That is our Advent cry, to prepare room in our hearts for the coming of Christ. The devotional we'll be reading from in our podcast by Walt Wangren, I'm kind of summarizing here, but he has this beautiful line where he says, as we're busy preparing for parties and presents, decorations and desserts, visits and visitors? Will we prepare with equal or greater fervor for the visitation of the Lord to us? So let's take time to prepare our hearts to enter into the Advent call and prayer of come, Lord Jesus. And so every year we have an Advent song, the one we sing every week after we light the candles. And so we'll do that next week, but we're going to introduce it now as a way to prepare our hearts of what Advent is all about, the coming of the Lord, the call of the church to say, Lord, please come again. And I don't know about you, but I look around at our world and the situations and floods and pandemics and heartbreak and divisions, and I just say, Lord, come. And I hope that's the cry of His global church.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or download our mobile app for more content. If you're in the area, we hope to see you soon. Until next time, may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you as you live by His Spirit.